in Old Testament scripture foretold is that coming of the shepherd. In passages like Isaiah 40, verses 9 through 11, we're told that it would be good tidings, the coming of the shepherd for the family of Judah. That it would be greater, or he would gather Israel as a shepherd gathers his flock, from Jeremiah 23. And then from Ezekiel 34, we're told that he would feed them. He would also be an ancestor of David. And then in New Testament passages in Scripture, we're told that that shepherd is Jesus the Christ, of which John just read. In passages of the first 16 verses in John, he's known as the Good Shepherd, who would bring other flocks into the one flock. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, he's known as the Chief Shepherd, who also has other shepherds who watch the flock. Hebrews 13 and verse 20, he's known as the Great Shepherd, who through his blood makes us complete. What a God we serve who gave his son to be that shepherd foretold of and promised and revealed in New Testament scripture. I want to look at that shepherd this morning, look at his role as a shepherd in two ways. First of all, the blessings that we have as a result of Jesus being that good shepherd. And then secondly, our responsibilities and duties to the shepherd himself. What is it we're supposed to do with this information? How are we supposed to react and behave with this information of our good shepherd? First of all, let's look at John 10 and verse 11. John 10, and we'll spend a lot of time in John chapter 10 this morning. John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And the analogy there is that a hireling, the following verse 12 and following, a hireling or someone who is hired or paid a labor charge to watch over the sheep, things come up and that hireling can't be depended upon. Something comes along the way like a big old bad wolf and that hireling's liable to run away and leave the sheep to fend for themselves. That money's not as important to him as his own skin, the hireling. But the good shepherd, that's different. The good shepherd, he said, gives his life for the sheep. If in fact, in those days, in that shepherd analogy, a wolf or some predator was to attack the flock of the sheep, it was the shepherd who would get in between the sheep and that critter and protect all the flock from death. In Matthew 26 and verse 31, we're told a passage from Zechariah 31. It says, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. It's kind of a dismal look at that good shepherd and what would happen to the good shepherd in prophecy, that the shepherd would be struck. And in fact, we know the shepherd was struck. And we know that a good portion of the flock on that day scattered, not wanting to stay with the shepherd as he was being struck. This idea and likeness of the shepherd is very revealing. If we understand, we've talked how before sheep are kind of dumb. Sheep will just wander off. You said sheep are out to graze in the green pasture, and they'll wander and walk away till they finally look up, and they're no longer with the rest of the flock. They're somewhere where they don't know where they are. And they don't have the sense enough to find their way back. They don't drop breadcrumbs. They don't mark their territory with sites like rocks or trees or pastures where they know they can go right back and follow that same trail back. They get lost. How like that is humankind? We live this life and we live in such a way where we don't mark the territory where we can backtrack to God very easily. And we wander off and we look up and pretty soon we find ourselves, we're just lost in a goose in a snowstorm or a sheep separated from the flock. But God in his infinite wisdom has given us that shepherd who has already put in place means by which we might find ourselves. What a wonderful God we serve because of that. That's one of the blessings of this good shepherd. This good shepherd is always there to give us back to the flock, to regain us, to recoup us, to replace us back in that flock when we're lost. John 10 and verse 28. John 10 and verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Let that sink in for just a minute. If you belong to the shepherd, no one can snatch you out of his hand. He doesn't allow it. A quote-unquote good shepherd to his flock of real sheep back in that day would again put his life in danger to protect his sheep. He would not allow someone else to come in and take one of his own, one of his flock. It just didn't happen. If the shepherd were worthy of his labor. No doubt this good shepherd we have will certainly keep anyone from snatching us out of his hand. The one and only person that can do that is myself, yourself. We can take ourselves from the shepherd if we choose to. We can take ourselves from the shepherd by neglect. We'll talk about neglect in the evening lesson tonight. How important is it to understand this neglect point, that by neglect we can be removed from the flock and not even realize it. But no one else, not even old Satan, can take us away unless we willingly leave the flock. He is a good shepherd. He is a wonderfully good shepherd who even now watches and cares for us. That's another one of the blessings. He cares for us in a way that nobody else can, a way that nobody else ever would. John 10 and verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Think about that verse for a second. The doorkeeper, or the porter is in the King James, was one who had charge of the gate. And inside that gate or that penned area were a number of different flocks all together. Now you'd think that might be a mess when it came time to separate them. But the shepherd could call by name his own sheep. Look at what it says. To him the doorkeeper opens, or the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. They know their shepherd. They followed their rightful shepherd instead of anyone else, because he says right there, when he brings them out, his sheep, he goes before them, the sheep follow him, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, verse 5. You couldn't go in and take somebody else's sheep away from them just by calling them out. They wouldn't go. They did not know you. But they know their shepherd. Kind of makes us wonder how well we know our shepherd. We know who he is, know where he is, we know what he is. We even know why he is. But how well do we follow him, knowing all that? If the shepherd told the sheep, let's go this way, the sheep would go this way. Now, one would wander off on occasion. We talked about that a minute ago. And sometimes we wander off on occasion. We're not perfectly bound into that flock. We're not bound together day in and day out as a sheep flock would be. But in this analogy, if we do happen to wander away, we have the ability to find our own way back based on the guidelines that have been given to us by our shepherd, because he cares for us so well. We can come back through prayer, through repentance, through our own desire to be having to continue with that personal relationship with our shepherd. John 10 and verse 16. It's an interesting passage. John 10 verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this flock or this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You know, when I first had that verse explained to me, it was under the understanding that all the other sheep were the other folks and denominations and so forth, and all those would be brought into the one flock and there'd be one shepherd. But on second look, on a deeper examination of that verse and the context of the verse, Jesus is speaking to Israel, the Jewish nations, the Jewish people there in his teachings and in his ministry. He went to the Jewish nation. That was the flock. That was the fold. The Jewish people. Because if you recall, in Old Testament times, the Gentiles were not part of God's chosen people. We all agree with that, I'm sure. If the Jewish nation, Israel, Judah, and so forth, if they're the flock, but there are other flocks that he's also going to bring, or other sheep he's also going to bring in. Who are the other sheep? The other sheep are the Gentiles. those who were not born Jewish, those who were not of Israel or Judah tribes, those who were never part of God's chosen people before the Good Shepherd came along. That's the other sheep. Look at with that context in mind, look at that passage again. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Which makes better sense? Jewish, non-Jewish, church, all the denominations. Jewish, non-Jewish. This is the flock. The Gentiles will be brought in. Makes perfectly good sense in that light. But Jesus is such a faithful shepherd, such a good shepherd, that he calls everyone, anyone who never was part of God's chosen people in Old Testament times, he calls them all. Now, the passage tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. Back in Matthew. The reason that few are chosen is that you have to be willing to be chosen once you hear the call. How does he call us? He calls us through his gospel. He calls everyone through the gospel. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of the Good Shepherd, is not meant for just a certain few people. It was never in God's ordinance or ordained by God that only a certain few people would have the ability to respond to the invitation of the gospel. That calling is for all mankind. Only the ones who respond, though, are the ones who will be chosen. How do you respond? Obedience to the gospel. We've talked about that many, many times before. But the point is, the Good Shepherd calls everyone. He's calling this morning. There may be some of you here this morning that have never answered the call of the shepherd. You consider these things as we talk about the remaining parts of the lesson this morning. You're being called again today. If you've never responded, won't you give some consideration to being part of the flock of the Good Shepherd? You can't be any place that's better. You can never be in a better place than the flock of the Good Shepherd, because he is the Good Shepherd. As a Good Shepherd, John 10 and verse 14 and verse 27, let's look at those two verses. Verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd, I know my sheep and am known by my own. And verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Those two verses tell us that the Good Shepherd knows his sheep. He knows every one of his flock. He knows every member of his body personally. The second thing we know about the Good Shepherd is that he feeds us. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. That analogy of finding pasture, that finding food. For us, and it's in the flock of the Good Shepherd, it's a spiritual feeding. It's a spiritual saving. It's a spiritual pasture. John 10 verses 3 and 4 tell us that he guides his sheep. And if the Good Shepherd is guiding you, you are not going in the wrong direction, I can promise you. You can never go in the wrong direction following that Good Shepherd. Look at verses 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper calls, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him and they know his voice. If you're following that Good Shepherd, you are going in the right direction. You're going to the right place. And you're going for the right reasons. And you'll be saved and you'll be fed. Because in John 10 and verses 28 and 29, we're told that he protects and preserves his flock. Verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. How important is that for the sheep? If you were given two choices this morning of being in verses 28 and 29 with your life or somewhere else, in other words, you're in verse 28, I give them eternal life. You have eternal life. You can never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch you out of the shepherd's hand. Is that a good, comfortable spot to be in or what? Can you think of any place else better to be? I mean, there's a lot of places in this life you can be. Trust it. You can be any place that you choose to be, really. You can be any place you choose to be spiritually in your life for the rest of your life. But can there possibly, remotely be a better place than described in verses 28, 29? In the flock, secure, never perish. No bad critter can come and snatch you out of the flock and eat you up. What total protection and perseverance we have through this good shepherd. Now, after all that, you'd think we'd just be falling all over ourselves to follow that shepherd, wouldn't we? We couldn't do enough to follow the shepherd. We couldn't do enough to get into that flock and stay in that flock and be in that flock and abide in that flock. But you know that's not the case with a lot of folks. A lot of folks haven't given these things a lot of time and thought, and they're not part of the flock. But the bigger issue is that some of those that are in the flock haven't given these things a lot of time and thought either. What about the duties and responsibilities of the flock to the shepherd? So that's the other side of that coin. Let's take a look at it. John 10, verses 2 and 3. He who enters the door is the shepherd of the flock, of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. The word "hear" is important in that verse. Not the fact that the shepherd calls, but that the sheep hear him. If the shepherd called and the sheep didn't hear, what good would the call be? If in that real sheep pen, that sheepfold, and I'm the shepherd and I go to get my own sheep out of there and they don't respond to my voice, I'm going to have a hard time telling the one from the other, mine from the rest of them, because they all look alike. You ever looked at a flock of sheep? Other than a spot here, spot there, or one's been shorn, one's not, they all look pretty much the same. If the sheep don't hear the shepherd and respond, the word is heed, H-E-E-D, not just hear. You can hear and not heed. It doesn't work the other way around. If you heed, you're hearing plus responding. The shepherd expects the sheep to heed his voice, his calling. Now, the initial call, the gospel call, that's one thing. He expects that all who hear that gospel call would heed that gospel call and respond positively and obediently and so forth. But once that's done, once you've heeded the gospel call, it's a continual heeding of the shepherd's voice from that point forward, you see. It's not just a one-time shot in the baptistry, I'm clean, that's a good deal, I'm good to go. It's not that. If I'm a sheep and I'm out on the flock and on the range in the pasture and I'm eating and going along and here comes a bad wolf or a bear or a critter or something going to eat somebody out of the flock, and if I don't heed the shepherd's call, I'm a goner. I'm dinner. Wolf bait. Not pretty. The sheep, that's why they respond so well to the master's voice, to the shepherd's voice. It's safety. It's protection. And if I was a sheep, it might even be out of respect. I don't know. I'd probably respect the guy that's taking good care of me and keeping me alive and fed, wouldn't you? John 13, verse 20. Not John 10, John 13. There you go. Turn a page or two. John 13 and verse 20. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. We understand what that says if we understand that Jesus is speaking. He says, whoever I send and you receive him, you receive me. You receive my messenger. You receive my apostle, my disciple. When you receive them, you receive me. And when you receive me, you receive the one who sent me. So in straight line talk, if you receive the apostle, you receive Christ, you receive God. The negative side of that is if you don't receive the apostle, accept or heed to receive, then you don't accept the shepherd, you don't accept the Father. See it? Jesus expects as the good shepherd that those who hear the call will heed the call, however they get the call. whether it was those who lived in the days of the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and the rest and heard it directly from them by word of mouth or by letter, or those of us who have the teaching and hear the call through the letters of the apostles, through the teachings of Christ, through the teachings of Paul and the others. That's how we hear the call. That's how we continue to hear his voice. How did Paul and the others get their instruction? Holy Spirit. Where did Holy Spirit get his instructions? Father and the Son. Holy Spirit told the apostles and other men what to write in this Bible. Well, he didn't say write it in the Bible. He said write it. This is what you write. And it was later compiled into what we have as a New Testament and an Old Testament as well. That's how we get our instructions. Of course, we know those things. But so many are willing to take instruction outside the Bible, outside the New Testament scripture for our guidelines today. And when we do that, we hear other than heeding the voice of the shepherd. You can heed the shepherd, and you can heed other things as well, and you get a confusing teaching, a confusing leadership, a confusing direction. If a shepherd says go here, but other teachings say go here, which way do you go? What if you want the safety of the flock? You follow the shepherd. Because he cares. So it's our duty to heed, to hear and respond to, positively, the voice of the shepherd. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 is a penetrating question that every one of us ought to take very, very seriously. Jesus is speaking, and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? The only reason is, number one, we choose not to. Or number two, we're so busy listening to someone else that we neglect to obey or hear and do the things, heed the things that Jesus actually says. Or Paul or the disciples, guided by the Holy Spirit, actually said. It's important to hear, but it's more important to heed. That's the responsive action to hearing. What about John 13, verse 20? We talked about that a minute ago. Heeding the apostles, heeding the writings and the instructions that were given to us through New Testament scripture by the apostles. You recall what it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42? Talking about the early church. It just simply says that they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine. Not just that they continued, but they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, that apostles' doctrine is an interesting phrase. It doesn't mean what the apostles taught on their own. It means what they taught as the Word of God. That doctrine. So the early church, as they were baptized and as they were obedient and as they became members of the flock, sheep in other words, the sheep were continuing steadfastly daily in the apostles' doctrine. That's important. If we're not continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine today, then we're not continuing to heed the shepherd. And we must continue to heed the shepherd if we want to go the right direction. And we need to hold on to the flock, because the shepherd holds to the flock as well as he can. And the only way out of the flock is a willing way out. We have to will ourselves out of the flock. We have to willingly walk away from the flock. Of course, that's a mistake that a lot of people make. John 17, verse 20. John 17 and verse 20. Recall this is the prayer that Jesus prayed. It's the high priestly prayer. In verse 20, Jesus was praying, and he says, I do not pray for these alone. He's talking about the apostles, his disciples who he had just prayed for, that they might not be taken out of the world, but they might be preserved from the evil one. And in verse 20 he says, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and I. Long ago in a garden, Jesus prayed for you. How important is that? How personal does that make you feel about your relationship with the shepherd? He prayed for you. He prayed that you would follow the apostles' doctrine, that you would follow him through the words of the New Testament scripture. It's one thing that the good shepherd does. He prays for his own. He prays to the Father for his own. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful asset and gift that is, to know that the good shepherd prays for you as one of his sheep. We respond to that desire to hold into the flock today by not heeding the voice of strangers, not heeding the voice of false teachers. John chapter 10 at verse 5. John 10 at verse 5, we're told that yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Oh, how important would it be today that members of the body of Christ did not listen to false teachers, the words of strangers, false doctrine. We have a lot of members of the Lord's body who are following strange doctrine in different ways other than where the shepherd would lead them. Adding things to the worship service, adding things here, adding things there, doing things that were never authorized or permitted through Scripture, yet, well, it's different in our day. No, it's not. It's no different for us today. We're still sheep of the pasture. We're still sheep of the flock, just like they were in the early beginnings of the church. We're no different. The time we live in is different. The time we live in gives us more to be aware of, more to be wary of, and more to be warned of, because there's so many ways that old Satan can slip into the flock. That we've heard about that wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, he's there. He's there in a lot of places, and so willing to take the sheep one by one, two by two, out of the flock. Let's don't let him do that. Voices of strangers the sheep should never heed. We could go on and on in this analogy about the shepherd and the sheep, how dumb sheep are, how necessary the shepherd is for the longevity and livelihood and sustenance of the sheep. But I'm sure by now you get it. Either you're a sheep or you're not. Either you're of the fold and the flock of the good shepherd or you're not. It's just simple as that. Those of the number this morning who are members of the fold of the shepherd, how close are you to the shepherd? How close is that relationship? Are you right there in his hip pocket? Or are you distance away? You know. He knows. Those of the number this morning who are gathered here that are not of the flock, or doubt about being, or question about being a part of the shepherd's flock, there's a way you can know. There's a way you can be sure. John says that these things have been written so that you can know that you have eternal life. The eternal life, we know, is with the shepherd and none other. If you have doubts this morning, if you have issues this morning, if you have a distance between you and the shepherd, then you might want to respond here in just a few minutes to this invitation that we're about to give. So what that does, it'll just secure in the doubt of your mind, it will change that to secure your position in the flock with the shepherd. So if you're not sure, why would you stay unsure after today? One more minute, one more hour. If you've got a distance between you and the shepherd, something has come between you and the shepherd, you know, I love it when they say, I'm not going down to that old church because there's a bunch of hypocrites down there. Well, let me tell you something. If you've got a hypocrite between you and God, the hypocrite's closer to God. Think about it. If something has come between you and the shepherd, then that something is closer to the shepherd than you are. If that's your situation this morning, don't let that hang out for another day. Why would you? That doesn't make good sense. Every Sunday morning we give an invitation, opportunity for those who are needing to come closer to the Lord, needing to come closer to the shepherd, needing to become part of the flock. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, no different this morning, there's an opportunity for you here in just a second to become part of the flock or to get closer to the shepherd, whichever is your necessity. And the question on our minds after every invitation is, why didn't someone respond? It's not in your heart to respond. Until the heart's right, the response is not going to take place. If you're having heart trouble this morning, you can fix it. It's up to you. While we stand and while we sing.